Welcome to Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show, June 13th, Sunday night. Our Thursday show is picking up. We had a lot of listeners the other night. Check it out, Thursday at 5, bbsradio.com. Anyway, we backed up the tape a little bit. We're going to cover a little bit of what we covered last week and a lot of new stuff. So here we go.
Consciousness faster can survive. So as a result of that, we've got some pretty bad situations going on. I told you guys years ago, for example, about our experiments at the University of Michigan after World War II. And at World War II, we found that in near Hiroshima and Nagasaki, when the bomb had gone off, the hydrogen fire, the atomic bomb had gone off, there was a lot of people exposed to radiation. And the ground zero is where the bomb explodes, which is the closest part and the highest amount of radiation. And we found that there were a lot of people that were exposed to huge amounts of radiation in those two bomb blasts and had very little damage to their DNA, and very little damage to their genetics, and very little damage, period. And then there were people 30 miles away from the bomb and 40 miles away that had very minor amounts of exposure to radiation. And they had major damage. And that was kind of my beginning, you know, my entryway. You know, the phenomenon of why can people be on top of a bomb and not be harmed by it, people miles away be harmed by it when they get a minor amount of exposure. And that was my opening statement to the health field, I think, back in the early 50s. And what we found was that the people that were not harmed by radiation had large amounts of electrolytes in their body. Electrolytes are in the brain. And these people, in order to maintain the electrolytes in their body, have large amounts of Fotai, Ginseng, and Gotu-Kola. So because of that knowledge, in later years, I began to use that in my formulations. Because if you don't have large amounts of electrical, you know, energies in your body cannot create an electrical field around it. When the electrolytes are in the brain, the hormones come up from your endocrine system, and they fire these synapses off in the brain. And this firing off the synapses produces an electrical field that's distributed around the body and down through 72,000 major wires of the major nervous system. And this is called your aura. So in this research, over the years, science has got deeply engrossed in the phenomenon of the aura. And if your aura field is working properly and functioning properly, your body doesn't create free radicals when it's exposed to MSG or radiation or anything else. Your body becomes bulletproof pretty much. And I've been able to practice that all through the years that I've been exposed to it because I used to be a nuclear physicist. I was around it all the time. I live with radiation. But unfortunately, most people today don't understand that, or they don't really want to understand, or they don't care about it. Everybody seems to be in denial. And one of the biggest things that we see today in our society is the people producing free radicals from radiation, storing it in two vital parts in their body. In the women, it's stored in the mammary glands of the breasts. In the men, it's stored in the male organs, primarily in the genitalia and, of course, upper colon, all the different places, the prostate. So as a result of that, what do you see more cancer? Colon cancer, prostate cancer, you know, breast cancer, all over the place. Totally inexcusable, totally avoidable if people want to avoid it by taking simple preventative measures as far as that. Same thing with the aging process. If you don't take care of your body genetically, start working with your body genetically with the DNA level, the aging process, you can see some people that are 70 or 80 years old hobbling around and some other people 70, 80 years old performing like high-powered athletes. Why? Because they do something about it. We have to exercise. We've got to put the right things in our body. We've got to be able to process the poison. You're not going to be able to avoid poison. Just for example, the atmosphere. This Chicago is pretty close to sea level, maybe 10 feet or so above sea level at the most. If this were back in 1975 when I gave my first lecture down here at the Holiday Inn, we had quite a bit of oxygen in the air in 1975. But today, 23 years later, 1998, we're theoretically about 3,000 to 4,000 feet of altitude right now. That's how much oxygen we've used up since 1975. Think about that. 3,000, 4,000 feet, not sea level. because that much oxygen is gone today. So as a result, when this oxygen is gone today, your consciousness doesn't work. And if you can't see that the world is totally going unconscious, then you have a real problem with your own consciousness, because it is going unconscious. Even politically, you can see the changes. I told you guys, everybody was paranoid in the 70s about computers and being kind of like the humans were going to be going into the fishbowl. And I says, no, that's not a problem because of communication. So the government's going in the fishbowl. We're going to be out here as the observers. Well, guess what? You know, Clinton can't even have oral sex anymore without it, the whole world knowing about it, can he? And reacting to it. And there's many other things that will come up because stuff, karma is finally coming. It's leveling. The playing field is now starting to get level. And with a level playing field, you know, you can't, there are no more closets to hide things in. It just isn't going to work. Closets don't exist anymore. What exists now is a reality. You can't run up into the mountains to get away from the environment. You can't go, you know, anywhere to another foreign country or South America to get away from the environment. The environment follows you around. Fossil fuel pollution is here to stay. Radiation. We've got, what, close to 500 nuclear reactors in the world right now. With unconscious people operating these nuclear reactors, what you have is bad contamination of the waste all over the planet. And the 400 and some underground blasts that we conducted in Nevada released huge amounts of radiation in the environment. And you got to understand something about radiation. Even World War II radiation, all in the test before and after, the half-life of these particles is 2,000 to 3,000 years. So it doesn't go away, it just gets worse. If you, for example, were to take a normal pregnant woman on dairy products and she were to cross a state line, she could be arrested for two things by the FDA. One, transporting a radioactive substance, her breast milk, across a state line, and transporting large amounts of DDT, also present across a state line. So there's two offenses right there. So everybody in here has got huge amounts of radiation, very low amounts of oxygen, and this causes tremendous amounts of problems unless you deal with it. And the offspring that we're producing now are not very motivated. I don't know if you've noticed the motivation lately of children, young adults. It's not really what I would call very aggressive. Tradition, which was the appreciation of the work of our ancestors to get where we are in spirituality and consciousness, is fast going by the wayside. People don't even understand what the word means anymore, and it's very unfortunate. I work a lot with the body, the cells, the organisms of the body, and we work a lot with DNA and how to deal with what are called electrical precursing energies. Your body is 5% mineral. This mineral frequency in your body, these minerals going in your body, you know, curtails and corrects and guides the other 95% of your body functions. Unfortunately, starting with a nutritional factor, minerals aren't even present in our foods hardly anymore. They've been absent for a long time. Minerals alone going into our bodies produce three different vibratory frequencies. The low frequency, mineral frequencies, which operates our breathing, our heart, and simple basic processes or unconscious processes. Those are just base minerals. Those are no longer present in our nutritional foods anymore because of the destruction of the soils and the destruction of the atmosphere and the high frequency of ultraviolet coming through the ozone layer. Our middle range frequencies in our body are chromium. Chromium is a reflective mineral. It's responsible for the first stage of consciousness, which is the immune system. And most people don't realize that your immune system is where your consciousness comes from. And then the frequency, the crystal, the vibrating, guiding light of the immune system is the parasympathetic nervous system or the vagus nerve. And this works on what are called trace minerals. You know, trace minerals started in this country back about 1928 in Utah when the Paiute Indians showed a rancher who had arthritis. You know, back in those days, people died at very early ages, typically of arthritis, especially men. 50 was a ripe old age if you didn't have arthritis by the time you were 50. So the Indians exposed this man to a stream, and his arthritic symptoms went away. and a lot of his other symptoms of aging went away. He examined the stream and went up to the source of it, where it's a spring, and that's where he found a 2,000-year-old decayed rainforest in a mineral form known as leonardite. And so because of this today, the trace mineral field and mineral field in this country is a multi-billion dollar business. And I've been lucky enough to formulate for many, many companies and develop some of the finest trace minerals in the world. They're very important. They're highly assimilable. They have to be used in the system. Now, I want to ask you a quick question, and you guys that heard me speak last year don't answer. Just as a typical understanding of your basic consciousness of your body, if you start to come down with a cold or a fever or a sore throat, what's the first thing that you put in your body from the health food store in the form of a vitamin or a nutrient or something? Does anybody know? What's vitamin C. Now, why do we put vitamin C in? What is that supposed to do? Does anybody here know why you put it in your body? You're putting it in your body. Do you know why? You don't even know because everybody else does it, right? That's the problem. Well, if you look at what's going on and you're one of these people that doesn't know why you put vitamin C in your body, what's going to happen is you're going to get sicker when you put vitamin C in your body. Because vitamin C is not a mineral. When you start to get sick, your immune system is crashing. Okay? When your immune system's crashing, your creativity is the first thing you lose, right? You're not thinking about making a happy family life if you're a homemaker. You're not thinking about creating something exciting on a job, or if you're a musician, doing a song or writing a poem or going to the beach. You don't think about that. You're talking about survival here. You know, getting rid of the pain or the pain that's to follow. And so if you look at it on a DNA level, what's happening is an alien RNA virus has come into your body and your immune system is supposed to stop it. It's not there. So your immune system didn't stop this virus. It comes in and attaches itself to the DNA of the friendly cells in your body and takes over. So you have no control anymore of your body. You've lost control. And that virus will continue to go on into your body until at some point your immune system wakes up, produces some white blood cells, and throws that virus out. But if your body is now befuddled by the virus, doesn't understand the frequency of the virus that's coming in there, and you put vitamin C in without correcting the problem, what happens is you're feeding the virus and you make yourself sicker. It's the same damn thing that happens when you take antibiotics for a viral infection. You have a super infection, okay? When you take vitamin C for an infection, bacterial or viral, first, you can oftentimes increase the activity of that. And if you're one of these kind of people that doesn't take vitamins at all, and suddenly you're not taking vitamin C because you heard your neighbors take it, you're going to be sick. You're going to have that sore throat. You're going to say, boy, these viruses are bad. They last all the 3, 4, 5 months now. You don't have a sore throat that goes away in 3 or 4 days or a week like it used to. So you start blaming it on the environment. The environment is responsible, but so are you. The first thing you want to put in your body when you start to get sick is something with consciousness in it. And if your body is 5% minerals, which controls 95% of your metabolic functions, obviously you want to put some mineral like chromium picolinate in first. Large amounts of minerals, trace minerals, and chromium picolinate for at least 7 or 8 hours. Then you want to start increasing your vitamin A intake to start building your immune system in, and then put the vitamin C in once the frequency of the body is correct. Because if you don't look at the body electrically first, you're not going to understand it ever on a biochemical level. The body is an electrical precursing energy first. Electrical precursing energies are first. These are parameters that tell the electricity in your body what to do. Okay? Then what happens? Your body becomes electrical. And then your body becomes biochemical. And anybody comes to biochemistry first will fail every time. Okay? You've got to attack the problem in the precursing level. Now we're talking DNA. We're made up of 4 basic amino acids, and these 4 basic amino acids repeat themselves in sugars and phosphates over and over and over again in large chains. And in these chains, depending on the frequency of the chromosome spacing, determines what the biochemistry is going to be made into, whether it's going to be biochemical ingredients are going to be a liver cell, or biochemical ingredients are going to be a regular hormone, or a white blood cell, phagocyte, lymphocyte, any of these kinds of things. But if you upset this delicate spacing in the chromosome level, because of electrical precursing levels, your body, instead of making a liver cell, now makes a cancer cell, okay, or some other cell of disease, cancer being a will-to-live disease. Now you look at your genetic training. Everybody in here has genetically trained themselves, okay? And with a genetic, your body looks at a clock. It's like a clock. Starts out at midnight, goes around the clock, ends up at midnight. And what happens is, during a 24-hour time period, things come into your body that are either positive or negative electrical precursing energies, okay? A positive precursing energy would be negative ionization, okay? Or exercise, or good water. A negative precursing energy would be stress, like sounds of the street out here, a siren, the atmosphere inside this room with all the different chemicals that float in the air, over 500 of them. Harsh lights like we have right here, these kind of lighting. These are negative things on the body. Sounds, radiation, exposure outside to sunlight, those of you that can't handle ultraviolet radiation. Other types of radiation. The water is radioactive. Dairy products are radioactive. All of these things are negative. You know, stress at a job, having a fight with one of your friends or your spouse. All of these things are negative precursors. So in a 24-hour time period, how is your exercise, your meditation, your clean air compare with all the pollutants? And if you start looking at your body over a 24-hour time period, most people find that they have more negatives going in their body than positives. Well, what's going to protect you? What's going to protect your DNA from producing cells in a proper manner? For example, the aging process on this planet, because of bad habits of human beings, has greatly extended itself. A perfect set of DNA instructions, or base pairs per turn, would be 46 base pairs per turn. That means if I were to take the human DNA and unwind it, okay, it's like an antenna. If I were to unwind it, I would have a strand of DNA material with all these sugars and bases and phosphates repeating themselves over and over again, about 3 feet long or 39 centimeters. During this time, if I were looking at just 39 centimeters of DNA, which would be just before birth, I would see alternately appearing and disappearing here through these genes, 46 different chromosomes. Now, I'm sure you may not be aware of, chromosomes are not always in the DNA. Chromosomes only appear when the DNA is about to split and multiply. Then they disappear. The spacing of the chromosomes when they do appear electronically determines the frequency of the cells and how they're going to metabolize in your body. If that spacing is interrupted, when these cells reproduce, when this spacing is off, then the reproduction of DNA produces genetic damage. If the spacing of DNA is proper, then the reproduction of DNA is proper for the cells. One of the first influences on the spacing of cells is sound. How many of you knew that? Sound. Sound affects your DNA in great ways. You know, even in the scriptures, it talks about Om being the first sound of creation. If you have positive sounds in your environment, reinforcing your DNA, for example, your DNA will have a healthy, balanced frequency, and you'll produce healthy, balanced cells. These cells, in turn, will eventually form into what are called hormones, and you'll have a healthy set of hormones. The hormones are stored in what are called endocrine glands in your body. And in your body, you have 7 different endocrine glands. Each endocrine gland is representing a level of consciousness. We have the physical plane, we have the astral plane, we have the mental plane, we have the intuitive plane, we have higher planes. And each time these planes are interrupted because of sound pollution is just one negative precursor, then what happens is that plane of energy can be shut off. And if that occurs over a long period of time, you have genetic damage occurring in your body, and if that is allowed to go unattended, it becomes permanent genetic damage. And you go into diseases like schizophrenia, example of this guy that was at the Capitol building having the shooting a few weeks ago. These kinds of conditions exist. You can see it in music. Congress for a number of years was very concerned in trying to regulate the sounds of music coming out from these hard rock bands of teenagers and all these lyrics. Because you can see that these types of musics that are negative on young teenagers with a very active DNA that's reproducing very rapidly become very violent very quickly when exposed to this kind of music. Because their consciousness is destroyed on the higher frequencies that allows that delicate level of spirituality to come through and make a difference between what is right and what is wrong. The body starts going to its animal instincts when the DNA starts to be shattered by sound. It's a very, very powerful thing, yeah. We're talking about the frequency, and the beat is part of it. The beat ends up, if it's a drum, the beat tells the DNA how hard it's driven into the body. In my new book, I go into tremendous... I've been working with music research for years. I've produced several different musical tones and albums that are selling all over the world today. I've worked a lot with Stephen Halpern with corrective sounds. If you come out to our booth, you'll see some of the music that we use in DNA. Today, I'm going to do a workshop, by the way, at 5 o'clock, and I'm going to have slides on all of this stuff. And we're going to go... I can go really deep into certain subjects and show you intimately how all these things work. The sound is very important. Now, let's look at something else with DNA. Just before the baby is born, when the mother is pregnant, the baby is producing 46 base pairs per turn in its DNA. That means the skin of that baby will be perfect, be flawless, the eyes are clear, everything is perfect in that child. As soon as the body can no longer produce 46 base pairs per turn, the pineal gland responds and sends a pulse or an energy down into the mother and tells her to give birth to the child, so the child is immediately born. The placenta in a woman is what isolates the fetus from the negativity that the mother has got in her body from her environment, because it's pretty negative out here regardless of what you try to do. It's not that good anymore. And so this is isolating or insulating the child. But as soon as the child is born and the umbilical cord is cut, the baby now no longer has 46 base pairs per turn in its DNA, but in 1 second or less has now reduced to 34 base pairs per turn. So that means if we have 46 base pairs per turn equaling 100% of longevity in our DNA cycle, and you take your first breath here on Earth and it's reduced to 34, the baby has lost 25% of its lifetime, its life expectancy at birth. Okay? That's how quick we start aging. When you are 18 years old, your body now only has 18 base pairs per turn, and you are 50% expired DNA-wise on your 18th birthday. And science has totally backed that up, and that's why in the health field you see hormones coming out like DHEA and other types of things that people are putting out on the market because the body stops producing these at 18 years old. About 50% of your body functions start to shut down on your 18th birthday. And so that's created a tremendous stir. For example, DHEA, dehydroepiphenyl, is one of the first hormones that's noticed because people now can't eat junk food all day long and stay thin. They start getting fat and stupid and sloppy and they can't function anymore. This is just the first thing that science noticed. In Scripps, all these different labs did tests, they found that if you put DHE back in the body, then the body would start, reversing some of the aging process. And this was a big attack on the body and still is today. There's a new product out with called growth hormone factor, and there's a million things coming on the market that work on a biochemical level, but we've got to get back up on the electrical precursing levels to make the biochemistry behave better. When you reach 55 years old, if you haven't done something to your body by that time, you have 6 base pairs per turn. So you're 95% gone. So when you're my age, unless you do something, you're 95% in the grave, genetically speaking. So you begin to see what a stupid existence that we have on this planet because we have put ourselves in regression for years and years and years. If we were to go back to the civilization of Atlantis 12,000 years ago and look what went on there before we had these scalar wave warfares and all the other things that science is starting to uncover now in these forms of older weapons, and what it did to the Earth's auric field, the aura around the Earth, you look at people that had names like Methuselah that lived 600 or 700 years. So genetically, 12,000 years ago, we had this condition where we did live a lot longer. Because what we have reduced ourselves to now is basically 10 decades of experiences. We set ourselves up and we become 10 different people over 10 years if we can make it to 100. The first 10 years, we start to realize body functions, communication skills, orientation skills. And usually we start into our teens in our second decade. We start from our orientation skills. We suddenly realize that our parents out here are totally living in contradiction to what we believe internally, because we still have that first decade of truth, instilled in us, and our DNA hasn't been disrupted too much. So we go into our second 10 years of teens, and we start rejecting and fighting or committing suicide or killing others right away now, because our spirits are so alive when we're born. Then we get into our third decade, from 20 to 30, and we start thinking about our career skills a little bit, our further orientation, and maybe a look at something about life if we haven't blown ourselves into oblivion in our first decade. And each decade progresses until we get up to the fourth or fifth decade, and we start to really take count of our spiritual purpose, our stock, and what we're really going to do, and we start putting things away for when we leave this world and go into the next one. So that's how life works. And in 10, in 100 years, that's not very much, not very many choices. So it has to repeat itself many times until we start making choices for ourselves. This gives you a little bit of an idea, spiritually wise, how DNA works. And physically, what goes on. There's 1,000 different nutrients I could name that do 1,000 different things in consciousness. And you'd have 1,000 questions, which I don't mind. Now I'm going to demonstrate an electrical precursing device, because I have over the years developed a lot of different things to change the frequency of DNA, and I've become kind of like a living example of it. Do I have somebody up here for a muscle test real fast? Here, he's coming right now. No problem. How are you doing? Good. Okay, so you're familiar with muscle testing, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good. Okay, so put this arm here, out this way.
Okay.
Now when I kind of push your arm down, resist.
Okay.
That's your normal strength.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, we just, for example here, we insert this glue. This is poisonous. Anybody want to try it? It's very strong. This would kill you in about 15 minutes, I would imagine, if you're breathing it constantly. And, it's the only difference between this glue and the room, and the room takes a little longer. So go ahead and put this on your, and then put that up to your nose and breathe it. Okay, and resist. That's it? Resist. No strength. Okay. Yeah. You like the glue?
No way.
Now we put the receptor on. This is a DNA. This is an electrical precursing device. I put this arm back up. No, same position now. Now resist. See how strong you got now.
Okay.
Yeah, you got a little stronger. Actually, what happens is you get stronger than you were normally. Okay. Take that off.
Well, we'll jump this down and
that's called a nuclear receptor. A lot of people have tried to copy this thing. I brought it up to the world in 1981. I see people walking around with all kinds of pendants and things hanging on them. Pat Flanagan and I developed this years ago, and it's one of the original ones that works.
I'll just run that forward, and we'll slip it over and get the rest of it, which you didn't hear yet. And,
body, the consciousness, the soul, to anchor itself in a physical environment, to get a reality check with other beings subjected to the same experience. The hydrogen atom itself brings the consciousness in. It doesn't come from oxygen, it comes from consciousness. It comes from the hydrogen atom. The hydrogen atom has been shown to make nuclear bombs, as well as many different things in our lives. Mix it with oxygen and you have water. And the hydrogen atom has 7 different colors going around it. It's like a proton and an electron. And this electron goes around the proton very fast. Consciousness determines that orbit. And that is transmitted to other atoms to cause them to orbit in a like manner. The 7 levels of consciousness, the physical plane, the astral plane, the mental plane, all these different planes of consciousness, where your mind comes from, where your heart feels, all of these things are represented by colors and corresponding sounds. And these are fed into the hydrogen. Pythagoras called this phenomenon, for example, hundreds of years ago, music of the spheres, and created a Pythagorean rhythm and a diatonic scale from it. It was all based on consciousness. All man's inventions and creations only come from within. The outside didn't create us. We created the outside. When you start looking at it that way, you begin to understand it. The nitrogen atom is a bonding atom. Nitrogen in the body creates protein, and in the outside world can create explosives. So it works, and it's a double-edged sword in itself. All these atoms are. And we are tremendously powerful when we take all this potential and apply it in a proper manner to consciousness. In the daytime, in the morning, when the sun comes up, the energy that feeds the hydrogen atom starts coming in what's called the red area. The red area feeds the pineal pituitary gland, and when these pituitary hormones go into the bloodstream from sleep to waking up, because the sun is coming up, it causes us to wake up from a dream state, which would be the astral state. So we wake up. And why do you wake up when the sun comes up? Or why do you wake up at a certain time? Because something tells you to, and consciousness is what tells you to do that. Yeah, you could say, well, your body's detox and all the things that go on a biochemical level, but that's not the leading factor, that's the following factor. So in the morning, when the willpower strikes your body and causes you to rise and get up and perform, then you start your day off. During that time, you look at the rainbow starting with red out to violet. The violet is out at the outer edge of the electron level, whereas the red is at the proton level. The proton of the atom is 1,645 times more dense than the electron. So the energy that's feeding the nucleus of that atom is what's going to feed your consciousness in a greater manner. And as the sun goes across the sky during the day, this polarity switches. So at sunset, the violet, which was at the outer edge of the atom in the morning, violet is now down on the nucleus, and the willpower of the red is clear out on the edge. So you are actually changed phase 180 degrees, and you have changed consciousness in one span of one day. Your body gets used to this. That's why you think different in the morning than you do at midnight. You're an entirely different being, and you've got to get in synchronicity with that. Now, if you take a person and put them in a jet plane and take them from here to England, then they're not oriented anymore to that cycle of the sun coming up to the sun setting. And so what happens is now you have a lagging period of your consciousness, where you just don't feel like you're there sometimes. You're in and out of consciousness, which is true, and they call this jet lag. When I worked at NASA, we had a big problem with this with the astronauts because they weren't even subjected to any sunset and sunrise. We were just going around and around the Earth in the early days that I worked on the Mercury and Gemini projects for the Apollo. By the time we got to Apollo, we already had that mastered. But still, it was very interesting. So you begin to see from space medicine down to terrestrial medicine, all of these things have a change in our body. But what happens is, in the electrical precursing levels, one of the first things that starts to happen when the body fails is your cellular structure of your body fails at one color level. One color starts to fail with aging, with DNA. If green fails, for example, green would be a sign of the throat area, the thyroid gland is going to cause a problem. Okay? If yellow fails, we're going to start having a digestive problem. So that means that the hydrogen atom on a cellular level, the cells cannot uptake the light properly anymore on certain spacings of the DNA. If you look at, back this up from the color to the DNA, we're talking about the distance of the chromosomes. Remember, the body is reproducing cells at the rate of 50 million per second if you're healthy. So a little bit of a color problem at the rate of 50 million per second is going to cause a big cellular problem in a little while. For example, you saw when I tested with the glue how quick it failed energy-wise breathing the glue. And when we reset the DNA, how strong he could become, even though he was still breathing the glue. It's an instantaneous transition. So in the case of the nuclear receptor, we do muscle testing. Nobody is ever allowed to wear one of these because these can cause tremendous damage to the body very quickly if you have the wrong color on. And I've seen it happen to people. I've seen people put these things on, and you'd think they'd taken about 2 grams of niacin a minute later because they just start getting a tremendous histamine reaction because their body goes crazy because they're detoxing so fast. So you have to muscle test to find out what color you're weak in and work with that color. Then over a period of time working with that color, you'll see changes in your life. And then after 6 months or a year, we test again, and probably your color is strong now. If you had a weak thyroid, that's probably fixed now. And then what happens is some other gland in your body, next weakest link of the chain, has to be looked at. And the thing about vitamins and nutrition, pyramids and receptors, remember this, your body has to heal itself. These are only technical devices to help the body assist itself in making these changes. Unfortunately, the negativity of the environment is so overwhelming today, especially in big cities like this, that the body has a heck of a time trying to struggle to find out where the correct frequency is to get back on track. And that's not necessary to be that way. And people that really get into these programs, I have my own formulas of trace minerals and vitamins. I even have a liquid vitamin formula combined with a trace mineral now today. It's amazing because I found that by combining liquefying vitamins and mixing them with trace minerals, they become assimilable so much faster. Within seconds, you can tell the difference. As a matter of fact, I tell people if they don't feel the difference in a few hours on our mineral formulas alone, they're not for them. You know, and in a few hours, you feel a difference. That's how sudden some of these changes are. You guys have any questions here at all? Yeah. No, but I'm aware of it because I work with airline pilots. Whenever you fly in an airplane, you create what's called a positive ion field in the body. Okay, let me give you some numbers because I also produce ionizers too. I've been in ionized. I was the one that started the ionizing commercial field in this country back in the early 70s. Used to be, okay, you can't reproduce a single cell in your body without a negative ion. Okay, can't do any cells at all. So if I closed the door, took all the negative ions out of the room, you'd all be dead in 20 minutes. Fact. Okay? Now, let's look at the air. Okay, if this were about 25 years ago, in this room, as we were breathing it, we would have had about 2,500 negative ions, okay, to 3,500 positive ions. That would have been a room ambient temperature of ions. That was 20 years ago. 15 years ago, we probably would have been looking at 800 positive ions, 4,000. Positive ions per cubic centimeter. That's how it's registered. Today, we're looking at probably, in the world, in a room like this, probably 150 negative ions and 5,000 positive ions. Statistics come from the University of Southern California at Irvine. They use my equipment to test and make these measurements. I've been working with them for years. So we're on the borderline now, right, in a room. I go outside with those trees out there, we're probably going to hit probably 750 negative ions around some of those trees to 5,000 or 6,000 positive ions, because now we're going to get more automobile exhaust. You get in a jet airplane, okay, with an aluminum fuselage, it produces a positive ion effect. How many negative ions do you get in an airplane? Nada, zero, minus, nothing. So what happens is when you get in that plane and you go for a 2-hour flight, you get out, you're a little wigged out, you get off that plane because your body's producing free radicals while you're in there. Now, you get somebody that's very sensitive, they don't take care of themselves. A lot of people are not, don't take care of themselves. And so what happens is their precursoring energies are very low, like an airline stewardess, and bam, they're going to have cancer right away. Because how can they not have cancer? Their body has no negative ionization. I used to build a pocket personalized ionizer that you put in your pocket, and we used to fly around on planes and wear these things and produce negative ion fields for 3 or 4 rows. Of course, when they'd approach you, you start getting shocks to eliminate that. But I quit doing it because they were expensive to make and people didn't understand the process of what negative ions did. We found that the receptor helps. I've got a lot of airline pilots today that wear these things because they produce a negative ion effect inside the body. But still, you need to have negative ions. Now, at NASA, what did we do? Guess what? At NASA, we put negative ionizers in a lot of the spacecraft because we knew better. But commercial airlines didn't want to spend the money. They don't even want to feed you properly on these damn planes, let alone put a negative ionizer in there and allow you to be healthy. The airline industry could care less about your feelings and your health. All they want to do is see if they can get set up. Used to be 2 and 3 rows, 3 seats here, 2 there, and a little. Now it's 3 and 3. Pretty soon it'll be 4, and you'll go in the plane like this, getting down the aisles. And the food, you know, you take it home and give it to your dog, he won't even eat it. I mean, that's where airlines are. And that's unfortunate, but it's true. The same thing in the cover-up with the ozone layer up here. The ozone layer is not being destroyed by fluorocarbons. I'm sorry, thank you very much. This book documents the fact it doesn't. The Global 2000 report put out by the U.S. government said that wasn't true. The ozone layer was being destroyed by high-flying jet aircraft. That's what was causing it. Came out very clear during Reagan's administration, produced during Jimmy Carter's time in office. Global 2000 report. We sold lots of them right here in Chicago from the government office down here. So as a result of that, you know, the first thing you got to do when you deal with the ozone layer is start building your immune system up. You know, I've never worn sunglasses. You don't have to wear sunglasses. You don't have to be afraid of ultraviolet. You have to develop what's called auric offset. Auric offset occurs when the synapses in your body are firing at such high rates that any kind of poisons coming in your body are immediately bound up and made into something positive. You make, in other words, you take a negative electrical precursing energy and make a positive one out of it. And I just demonstrated that with the receptor and the glue. There's other ways to fortify that. This is not the only way. We have several different ways and need to use all of them. So when something comes into your field, you know, it's effective. Typical example of that is President Clinton. Okay? Consider him having very high auric offset. Okay? Then get on CNN and MSNBC and all these talk shows. And everybody's sitting in there in these chat rooms all day long wondering if he's going to do this. Wondering. Nobody's thinking for themselves. Wondering if Monica Lewinsky's going to go back. What's she going to say? What's Linda Tripp? How many more tapes? Hey, is this president going to recover? Is he going to be thrown out? Is he going to be impeached? You think President Clinton's worried about that? No, not at all. He will put out such a positive field, you know, and he will, boom, energize all these people on these talk shows, all these senators, like Orrin Hatch, his greatest, you know, perpetrator of against him now because he went out and did the wag the dog and bombed over here, got up the terrace, which has to be done. Now Orrin Hatch supports him. So there's a guy in 2 seconds felt the auric offset from President Clinton and politically amplified it, and he'll amplify it and amplify it. Okay? Our world, spiritually, is not ready for Jesus Christ in the presidency. It's not ready. That's not going to happen. We're still going to have mixtures of good and evil in there because they're going to have to deal with the world. The world is full of good and evil. And you have to have a very high auric field. He who has the highest auric field, when he walks in the room, will rule the room. He'll rule the United States and he'll rule the world. And these negative guys, like, what's his name, Omar Sin, the guy from Pakistan, the great terrorist that we're after right now, he has got a very powerful negative aura. And a lot of people are going to get caught between that aura and the aura of the United States. But the United States will win. We always do. As long as we don't try another Vietnam. A terrorism can be put down. But we work today with problems like terrorism on a DNA level. Because I have teach people how to do meditation and how the power of meditation. And how to hook their bodies up to their minds and project this positive thing. And you become bulletproof to these outside negative energies. And that's what you have to be. You know, I think the opening line in my book says it all. It's like a little poem that I stuck in here. I'll read it to you because it doesn't take very long. I wrote this back in 1985. If I can find it in here, it's only the first part. Prophecies are for the weak who've lost their way in ignorance and sought history from a ship of fools, whom likewise lost their course and admitted defeat. We don't want to be a ship of fools. So live in the now and create your own reality rather than riding in the wake of another and give our prophets some time to sleep. How many of you listen to this negative stuff and believe it? It's not going to happen. You're going to change it. You're going to make a difference. You have to make a difference inside of you. You have to light the fire of truth and consciousness inside yourselves. And that's what we got to do. And I've been away from this National Health Federation for a number of years. I came back last year because I spent a lot of time here with Betty Lee Morales and Dr. Christopher and all the original people that were the founders of it. And they were great friends of mine. And I didn't see Betty Lee Morales ever stand up here and worry about, you know, her body falling apart and what was going outside in the world. Nor did I ever see John Christopher and people like that. But I don't see people like that around anymore. It's gotten to be a dying breed. But the spirit lives on. And we've got to resurrect that feeling and not make these people's lives, who guided me in my early days in this whole movement, make it a worthless endeavor. Let's make it a powerful endeavor. Let's bring this energy back. This federation needs to come and get lifted up again. I really hate seeing small attendance like I'm seeing at this show versus what I used to see 15 and 20 years ago. There's too much politics going on. We don't have time for that. Politics are what destroy things, you know. We need to unify the spirit of this thing, get our precursing energy centered, get our power up, our aura field up, and not let it come down. And not let when you go home and you're around people that are ignorant affect you. And that's the hardest thing. That's why I designed these pyramids that go over beds and systems and ionizers for your house and these things called star orbs to get rid of ELF and all this other stuff that I've developed over the years. Because you have to go get high at home now. You can't do it in the environment out here anymore. You know, I live in Laguna Beach. It used to be a beautiful town. Well, the only thing we don't have down there now in Laguna Beach, California is terrorism. We got gangs. We got murders. We got everything in Laguna Beach. In Orange County, which is part of L.A., just feeding in. You can just see it. You used to do that in the evenings, drive down along the ocean, go to sit on a bank. Now what happens is the oceans are taken over by the Park Service, a park ranger, and kicks you out at sunset. Can't have you in here. Crime rate, you know, in beautiful Laguna Beach. Where are you going to go? Nowhere. You run up to Oregon, 5, 6, 7 years from now, Oregon will be the same thing, you know. Bank gangs will be coming up there. Crime, pollution, population, overpopulation will start coming in Oregon or anywhere. You can't go, so you got to make a stand here. You got to make a change here. It's very, very important. You guys got any other questions here? I'm getting off on another tangent here. I'm getting. Yeah, all this is what I'm talking about. It's in this new book. This book right here. My publisher hasn't published it. I'm doing some copies, you know, so you can order them. We can get them made for you while we're at the show. The book officially won't come out for about 6 months, but I will be printing some copies and making copies from the local Kinko's here for the show because some people wanted these things, you know. I want to get them out. So they're available. Any other questions? Now's your chance before we go into a seminar, you know. Hope you come into the seminar. I'm going to show you some slides, show you, you know, piece by piece how you can put your bodies back together and what you can do about nutrition and where to get it and what to eat and what not to eat. And I'm not a dictator because everybody's different. A lot of people, for example, want to be vegetarians. Guess what? Their body can't assimilate vegetables. Right? Why? Because the nitrogen atom isn't balanced properly. You know, you got to know, you learn how to balance your body out, find out where it is. You hear people about people becoming breatharians. In order to become a breatharian, you have to teach your body, the pituitary gland, to produce protein from the air and the water that you put in. That's a big lesson. That's a big step forward. And everybody else is somewhere in between that. And most people are not very close to being breatharians at all. I see people eat raw foods all the time that can't digest them. And they just get sicker. They get skinny and sick and unhealthy and anemic from it because they don't know how to take care of themselves. Wrong thing. You gotta address your body where it is. Do something for where your body is, and then start leading it off into a higher frequency. That's where they sell from $99 up, depending on the frequency and the type of stone that you need. Other question? Yeah. Yeah, we're going to have a 5 o'clock workshop for a couple of hours. You're going to love it. We're going to get really out there. I'm kind of conservative right now. I'm holding back. So I don't want to get anybody upset and see them all run out all at once, you know. Yeah. Any other questions? I'm also writing another book called Restoration that I do a lot with Ayurvedic medicine. I do a lot with herbal therapy now. You know, if you want to learn about herbs, it's real important to know about those. First thing I want to tell you, when you take vitamins, for example, especially working with DNA, vitamins work with the cells, and they can be taken pretty much any time, day or night, preferably during the day. Herbs do not do things to the cells individually. They work on organs. So when we start getting into herbal therapies, we start working with individual organs. And I worked a lot with people that have had bad habits of drugs and alcohol and that, and I start restoring them after they're 50 years old, because then people start slowing down, realizing what they did to themselves, and now it's time to either change or die. Herbs also have to be taken at a certain time of day. You know, if you take the wrong herb at the wrong time of day, you can destroy yourself. They become poison, because the body eliminates at certain times and assimilates at certain times. So timing is very important. And when you start getting in synchronicity with your body and the timing and the frequency and what you can and can't do in your body, then you can really start raising your energy level and really start kicking, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's quite late. She asked if anybody could read it. Sure you can. It's very easy. There's probably about 30% in here that's difficult, which, you know, my books go to universities too. You know, they like them, but the difficult part can be understood if you do the late part first. I figure that if a 5-year-old can't understand that book, I'm writing it to the wrong people. Because I understand things on a very simple level, even though I've been a scientist for a number of years. I'm a very slow learner. But when I finally get it down, I get it down real good. You know, I've sat down in schools many times with other kids when I grew up in college too, and they get their lesson plan way faster than me. But in the long run, I'd understand what was going on. Yeah. Yeah. Well, ionic minerals are going to be more active. Colloidal minerals are going to be slower. Okay. The way we do it, there's something I've learned about minerals because we've been producing for a number of years. I've been working with Integrated Health. They're one of the largest mineral producers in the world. The whole secret of minerals is how you process them in the first place. When you mine them in the ground, you bring them out, they're called leonardite. So it's a red-looking clay, reddish clay. It's very ionically active. So what you have to use is deionized water to bring the mineral potential over into the water. So you use what's called deionized. So that is a deionizing process. And then the solution that they're in, the water solution that they're in, becomes a colloidal solution. Colloidal means to suspend. So a colloidal solution is, so basically what you really want minerals is active ionic in a colloid. That's what ours are. So the colloid allows them to go into your body and go to the right cell structures, and then the ions allows the transfer of the energy. Because what is a mineral in the first place? A mineral is a level of consciousness. It's a piece of metabolism that actually contains consciousness. One of the worst things, for example, we do on this planet right now is to bury our dead when they're sick. Because that teaches the DNA of the planet something bad. That's why the Indians always, you ever the Indian ceremonies, when the brave died or somebody died of sickness, they burned them. And then put the ashes in the ground. Not put this dead body, this cancer back in the ground, because the DNA of the earth is picked up on our foods. You know, it goes all around the world. All the water comes down. Rain goes down through the water table, goes down through the soil, and down to the water table. And all the DNA of people is assimilated back. It's repeated over and over and over and over again. So the big thing in understanding this disease thing that we have is not allow it to go back into the earth. The Indians were very smart on many, many levels about taking care of the future generations. They cared about the future generations. Yeah, other questions? Any others in here while we got? Yeah. No. No. Yeah, go ahead. Yes, good question. Do I have a rule of thumb how late you should eat? I use meat. I was 50 pounds heavier than this at one point in my life. Now, all my life I was skinny. Before I got to about 45, 46, 47, somewhere in there, where my base pairs would be something between 18 and 7. When I got up there, I noticed that if I ate after 6 o'clock, it stayed. Because the growth hormone is not released at night, but if the growth hormone factor can't be released at night, your body starts blocking up. Now, why when you're 27 can you eat at midnight and get away with it? Because the growth hormone factor is much more active because your DNA is much longer, okay? But as your DNA shortens, so does your eating spectrum shorten. If I eat a moderate amount of food during the day and don't eat after 6 o'clock, I will probably lose weight that night. If I, any amount of time after 6 o'clock I eat, that will cause me to either maintain or gain a little bit. I've learned weight control, so timing has a lot to do with it. And I didn't believe that at first because I'm a triple Leo. I love to eat. I used to know every restaurant in Chicago and every other state I went to. Today, what do I eat? Little salad, soup here and there. I don't eat much anymore because I had to break myself with this horrible eating habit, and then I had to curtail myself to eating anything after a certain time. And yeah, once in a while you can cheat and go out at midnight and have a big steak or something and screw yourself up, and you'll feel it the next day and not gain weight from it. But I mean, on a regular basis, you need to get your timing down. The same thing, like herbs. The herbs that I'm using on my particular program, I take 15 different herbs every day along with my trace minerals. I start taking those at 2 to 4 o'clock in the afternoon, never later than 4, because they start causing damage in the body. You know, a lot of herbs are full hormone structures. And the hormone is defined as the first unit of biochemistry to possess consciousness. So in my therapies, what I look at is the amino acid chains to make different hormone structures possible. For example, if somebody has low estrogen levels, we go back up and look at the amino acids that make up estrogen and put those in the body with the proper herb at the right time, and the estrogen levels come back up instead of having to shoot yourself up with drugs. Same with adrenals. You know, the corticosteroids are for energy, for working out. So we figure out in the body what's broken down in the adrenal cortex, put that amino acid group back in at the right time in the right conditions, and boom, the adrenals come back up. That's the beauty of the receptor because, for example, each one of these seven levels of consciousness, that each one of these endocrine barriers, for example, the adrenals is a chakra, right? It's the level of consciousness, the solar plexus. So if I want to build my energy, I would be wearing a brown stone because this part of the body checks out in brown and gold. So I would put like a citron in the receptor, and my digestive functions will start becoming a lot better. My amino acids become stronger, and my hydrochloric starts to balance. I went through hell to learn what I've learned because I did everything wrong. That's why I became a doctor, because I was a scientist with no earthly reality connection to my body for a number of years. Just didn't work. Any other questions? Another one. Yeah. Have a what? Yeah. So, you'd be a perfect candidate for some herbs with renal damage. Oh, yeah. For example, because I used to drink a lot in my younger days, when I got older, I started having to get up 3 or 4 times a night and go to the bathroom. The first thing I did was fix that. You know, renal damage, you know, bladder damage. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of herbs that we'd have to use on you. Yeah, I wouldn't go into them all now. But, and by the way, the herbs that I use them in a liquid form. You need living herbs in a liquid form, sometimes alcohol and sometimes water. You get an herb in a powder and a pill, forget it. They're a waste of time. You can't regulate them. They're 90% gone. You got to use them as live in a liquid form. Or even better than that, you can go out and gather them yourself. And most people don't have that time. But there's many, many good herbal forms today in these little eyedropper bottles. You know, so I do a lot with recovering alcoholics and drug addicts. Yeah. The ozone machines. Well, my thing on ozone, you know, if you're in a room and there's a speaker cabinet over here and there's a plastic thing right here on there and the ozone is in the room, what happens? The speaker goes bad, the plastic cracks, right? It causes cross-linking. Ozone causes cross-linking. So the FBI, you know, in LA when we have smog, right? The smog alert. Why do we have a smog alert? Because the ozone layer is too high. Because it causes cross-linking in the lungs. Cracking of the lungs, drying out and destruction of the polyps in the lungs, the breathing apparatus. So I'm not an ozone. I make an ionizer, for example. I don't use ozone to cover up this, you know, O3 to get rid of the smell. I use a carbon filter, an electrostatic filter, and bring the stuff in and then clean it up that way. You know, this ionizer field's gone a little sideways. Ozone therapy is good for fighting AIDS and cancer if it's used in enema form from the internal parts of the body pulled out. Then it's fine. But other than that, I don't recommend it, you know, orally or through the, no. Okay, I think there's another speaker coming in. I hope you guys will come down to my, we're at booth 211. Come to my workshop at 5.
Well, that just ran out perfectly. So anyhow, we'll catch you next Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific, BBS Radio. For more information, call 1-800-729-2603. Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science Energy Show. Finishing up for the evening.